This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Stegman, and this is The Rundown. A high-stakes hearing is underway today over the treatment of protesters and journalists covering the Trump administration's Operation Midway Blitz in Chicago. U.S. District Judge Sarah Ellis hearing testimony from citizens, including clergy and an alderwoman, about whether the feds violated her temporary restraining order. That order bans riot control weapons against people who aren't posing a threat to law enforcement officers. Witnesses allege that federal agents have used excessive force, including pointing guns in protesters' faces and firing chemical irritants without warning. That includes an allegation that Border Patrol boss Gregory Bovino personally tossed tear gas into a crowd. Justice Department lawyers are questioning witnesses about their ideological resistance to immigration enforcement and argue that federal agents feel threatened. Chicago's acting cultural commissioner says that department is entering a new era. Her comments come as the department's budget for next year is under review. My WBEZ colleague Courtney Kippers reports that Kenya Merritt appeared before the city council last night for the department's budget hearing. But first, Merritt acknowledged the turmoil under former Commissioner Clinae Hedspeth, who faces allegations of sexual harassment and resigned last month.
D case itself, it's entering a new chapter, focused on collaboration and accountability.
Mayor Brandon Johnson's proposed budget includes a slight decrease in arts spending. A D.C.-based conservative activist group is suing Illinois for records on the state's role in offering refuge to Texas Democrats this summer. Several Lone Star State lawmakers fled to Illinois to avoid a vote on new congressional maps. Judicial Watch's lawsuit requests public records from Governor J.B. Pritzker's office, namely recordings, emails, agendas related to Pritzker and the Texas Democrats. The group says Pritzker's office has refused to provide those records. Meantime, Pritzker says he's proud to see Democratic candidates winning elections around the country last night. Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani will be New York City's first Muslim mayor. Mikey Sherrill of New Jersey and Abigail Spanberger of Virginia have defeated Republican challengers in their gubernatorial contests. Pritzker says there's one big reason for yesterday's blue sweep.
They talked about affordability and didn't just talk about it. They actually acted upon it, proposed things, and are getting things done. And I'm proud of that fact. I think that is what the Democratic Party is all about, delivering for the people.
Pritzker says voters have to, quote, do everything we can to push back on Donald Trump. The Chicago White Sox have a new pitching coach. The team announced yesterday that 37-year-old Zach Bove has landed the job. Bove comes from the Kansas City Royals, where he spent the last three seasons as assistant pitching coach. His main task is to help the young pitching staff improve after the team had another season with more than 100 losses.
I just want to get to know them first, right? Establish a relationship, understand what's important to them. There's definitely things to work with. It's super exciting to kind of, again, just partner with these guys and get them better.
Bove takes over for Ethan Katz, whose contract was not renewed after 5 years with the organization. The Sox are expected to announce more coaching staff hires for the 2026 season soon. You're listening to The Rundown. Not all federal immigration officers are wearing ID badges on their uniforms, more than 3 weeks after an order from a federal judge in response to a lawsuit. And many of the IDs they are wearing can be hard to find or read. That's based on photos shot by the Chicago Sun-Times at four locations since the October 9th order. Sun-Times reporter Lauren Fitzpatrick teamed up with the paper's photojournalists to document agents as they fan out across area streets in large numbers making arrests. She sat down with WBEZ's Melba Lara to share her findings.
Lauren, to start, can you tell us what IDs federal agents were ordered to wear?
Yeah, U.S. District Court Judge Sarah Ellis demanded visible identification, and it must be prominently displayed by agents. Initially, she made this ruling on October 9th, and then she repeated it on October 28th. She didn't insist on names, which is typical of, you know, what law enforcement wear, but instead she permitted a kind of combination of letters and numbers.
And what have the leaders running immigration enforcement in Chicago said about whether they're actually complying with the judge's orders?
Gregory Bovino, who's the boss of the Border Patrol that's mainly been seen in the streets in and around Chicago, has told her in court that he instructed everyone under his command to display this kind of unique ID. And then a locally based ICE official basically told the judge the same thing as my colleague John Seidel reported from federal court. Last Friday, in a statement, the Department of Homeland Security told me that, quote, DHS will uphold the rule of law and address this matter with the court.
So we know what the leaders have said. Can you tell us what you and the photojournalists have actually seen on the streets since October 9th?
In a single word, a hodgepodge. And the images, dozens of images have been captured by Ashley Rezin and Anthony Vasquez. So some officers have no IDs that we were able to see in the photos. Some did have letter number codes that we presume are what the judge asked for, but a lot of them are incredibly hard to see. So picture like a camouflage patch on a camouflage uniform, or these black and white digits also like against camouflage. Then they've got their patches all over the place. The backs of helmets, the sides of helmets, the left arm, the right arm, their chests, their backpacks. So there's no single place for people to look. And then recently we've been seeing what looks like Sharpie marker on tape stuck to uniforms. And the tape is not even the same color. One officer's numbers appear to be upside down.
And Lauren, several of the incidents that were photographed with these kind of confusing IDs were among the most contentious immigration actions recently. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it is. And for example, the October 15th crash on the far southeast side around 105th Street, where tear gas was deployed and a teenager who turned out to be a U.S. citizen was arrested as well.
Without IDs, of course, it is very hard to hold officers accountable for any misconduct or even to even get basic information. So what else have you been seeing and reporting on?
What's emerging is this broad pattern of federal immigration officials not adhering to their own rules. This time it's no names and hard to read IDs, but we've reported a history of officers covering their faces. They had to be told to wear body cameras. I've published stories about vehicles missing license plates or cars with blacked out digits on their license plates. I've reported on the Broadview Immigration Center, which is supposed to be holding people for hours at a time, stretching into days, that won't let anybody in. And that includes members of Congress and clergy members. I mean, that resulted in a lawsuit filed on Friday that called it a black box. For what it's worth, the Department of Homeland Security does say that it's following the rules.
Lauren, thanks for bringing all this reporting to us. We appreciate it.
Malba, it's my pleasure.
Mostly clear skies are forecast overnight with a low around 36. Mostly cloudy Thursday with a high 56. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Degman. Thanks for listening.